recording after that. Okay, Beis Tefillah, Parshas Balak, Tavshin, Ein Hei. Says the Pasuk, Perikov Beis, Pasuk of Aleph. Vayakam Bilam Baboiker. Bilam got up early in the morning. Vayachvish es asoinoi. And he saddled his donkey. Vayelech in Sorei Moyov. And he walked with Sorei Moyov. Right? He went with Sorei Moyov. He walked, he went with him. He rode on his donkey. Says Rashi over here, Vayachvish es asoinoi. Mikansha sinem akalkeles es ashura. From here we see that the hatred that Bilam had, Makalkelis is Ashura, made him do things that wouldn't be in his normal way of doing them. Shechavash hu ba'atzmoy, right? That he himself got up and saddled his own donkey. Now, he's a wealthy person. He could have got someone else to saddle his donkey. Number one, he got up early. Number two, he saddled his own donkey. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bilam, Rasha, kvar kidomcha Avram Avir. Rasha, Avram, their forefather, already got there first. Shenemar v'yashkem Avram b'boike v'yachvish es kamaru. Right, Avram Avinu got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Now, the question over here is Pashut, that we see that the fact that Bilam got up early and saddled his donkey is mechayev of an answer of sorts from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In some way, this gave his curse another reason to work. It gave extra koyach to his cursing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to answer him, no, Bnei Yisrael already have that koyach on their side. And Achor it's a plea, Bishlam, if someone gets up early to go do a mitzvah, so right, a tzaddik gets up early for Nait, you want to go get a bracha from him, beside it, he gets up for Nait, so he's more of a tzaddik, his bracha works better. But Rasha gets up early, that makes his klala work better. Right? How does it work? So, last year, Rav Lerman said, brought from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. It's not going to be a rerun. It's not going to be a rerun. But last year, Rav Lerman brought that there's an idea that a person has to invest as much in Avodas Hashem as he puts into other things. And he said there can be a tree on a person. If a person gets up early when it's time to go on Ben Azmanim, to go on holiday, then suddenly you've got koyach to wake up in the morning and do everything. So then there's a time, why don't you have time to get up early for everything else? People who go to work know that from 9 to 5, that's it. There's no answering the phone. There's no doing anything, right? And then, you go sit and learn for a couple of hours, and pitom every phone call is important. So there's a tefillah. If you can invest that amount for Gashmias, you have to invest the same amount in Ruchnias. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, repeating from Rav Lerner, says Rav Moshe Feinstein that what Bilam wanted is to raise the bar. He wanted to make the norm a little bit higher. This is a done thing. You see that when people, they tell the story of one of the Gdolim who was going to Nate, and he saw the Arab who brought the milk in those days, the Arab had to schlep in the milk for the bakery, was already sitting outside the bakery. He said, one second, this guy can get up in the morning, even earlier, for a couple of pennies that he gets for the milk, he can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and bring the milk. So if he can get up at 4 in the morning for the few pennies that he gets, why can't I get up even earlier to go learn? Right? And he made a Kabbalah to always beat that Arab to be in the Beis Medrash. Okay? So what Bilam wanted over here is to make the norm that you see people get up first thing in the morning. Mimele, make a kitrug on Kalal Yisrael. Rega, you see, when the working people, Bilam is going to work, right, to wipe out a nation. For some people, that's their work. So Bilam's going to work to do that, and he gets up early. Why don't you guys get up early? Answer the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rasha Kvar Kedom Ka Avram Avir. By Yaakov, when he's about to meet Esav, he says, Im lovan garti v'eichar adato. And Rashi says, Im lovan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. Right, I lived with Esav, and I kept the Taryag mitzvahs. V'loi lamadati mimaisav. And I didn't learn from his maisav. Bale Musa say over here that he was saying a tain on himself. He said, yeah, I kept the Taryag mitzvahs, but I didn't learn from his maisav. Why? Because someone who's got a plan, when Lavan had a plan of how he was going to try and rip off Yaakov, so he walked in the street thinking about a new plan to try and cheat him, and you know, when he was busy eating, he was thinking about it. And it was always on his mind how he's going to steal, how he's going to. And Yaakov was saying a tefillah on himself that when you see when people have a Yetzer Hara, the way they can run to do things, So you have to learn from them the koichos we really have to use in Avodas Hashem. We're saying that the Bali Musa say it was a tfiyah, but Tariq Mitzvah Shamati, Avaloy Lamadati Maisav, I should have learned where a Ganav gets up in the middle of the night against all the odds, but a mysterious nefesh at 2 a.m, he's going and he's doing what he needs to do, right? Not scared of anyone. So that would be the same way that we serve Hashem. The another derech could say, so be the nefesh achaim. Basically, the whole Shaar Aleph of nefesh achaim is built on the fact that a person has a lot of different chalakim to himself, as Rabbi Saunders was brought up earlier. That person's a guf, he's got a nefesh, there are lots of different chalakim of the nefesh, nefesh, ruach, neshama, v'kulu. And the more that a person puts into his mitzvahs, the more kavana and the more heart that a person puts into his mitzvahs and avodas Hashem, so the more parts of his neshama, the more parts of what the person is, get invested in that mitzvah. And the Nefesh HaChaim said, two people can stand next to each other and do the same mitzvah, and the effect of the one will be tens of thousands more than the effect of the other, because he invests more of his heart into it. And Mimela, when a person comes to give a curse also, it depends who's coming to give the curse. Is it just a body coming to give a curse and is thinking about something else at the same time? Or is he coming and is giving a curse with every bit of his neshama, right? And he's just investing more of what a human being is into that act. And the more a person invests himself into that, the more koyach that act is going to have. A slightly different nusach I heard years ago from Chabrus of mine at the time, said B'Shem Rav Nevinsel. The way Rav Nevinsel said, I'll first repeat exactly his words and then we'll try to understand it. But he said that there's a din of kavod abrios. He said if ever a person takes everything that he has, he takes his whole heart and soul and all of his neshama, and he invests that in a certain thing, said Rav Nevinsel, the klal is that whatever a person really wants, he'll get. But it's a klal I heard from Rav Volbi also. He said everyone achieves what they want. Rav Volbi was, he was almost shaking when he said it. He said it's the scariest thing. He said, but everyone in the world gets what they really want. The question is how much you really want things, right? But the way Rav Nevinsel said it is that if a person takes every bit of his koyach and every bit of his neshama and puts it to a certain goal, the klal is he'll always achieve a goal. He said it's built on kavod abrios. Because if someone puts all of his heart, everything that he is, into doing something, and he fails, and so then you've been mavatal the whole person. So it's a din of kavod abrios, Hashem says, when a person tries his hardest, he's going to get it. When Mela Bilam gets up, and he saddles his donkey, and he breaks all the rules, and is a rich guy, busy changing the oil in his car at 4 a.m. before he goes somewhere, right in Amusagim. So, if a rich guy and he has a car that you have to check for oil at 4 a.m. before you drive somewhere. But whatever the dugma would be, Mimela als kavod abrios, that would give the curse a special koyach to work. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to find the same skus on the other side that Avraham Avinu invested those kind of koyachos into Klal Yisrael. Trying to keep the same surah, a little bit of the shir as Rav David. It's not for me to say Musa, but just to keep his surah. The story we can learn from here, number one, to be mashkir in ruchnias, the same way as we mashkir in gashmias. And another idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want from us the avoidah haguf. When he wants avoidah from people, so he wants an avoidah from the whole person. The whole person includes much more than just a person's body. Right? And a person, we need to try and invest the more of ourselves, and what's our real self, the more of ourselves that we can invest in Avodas Hashem, includes the guf, and includes the neshama, the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. So the more we invest in Avodas Hashem, that's what Hashem really wants. On that nakuda, there's a Rashi in Bereshish, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayikach es Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Adam HaRishon to put him into Gan Eden. Says Rashi, Kacheu B'dvarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Adam HaRishon and convinced him to go to Gan Eden, right? And we have also in Vayikra, where Chumash Vayikra, not Parashat Vayikra, where Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Kachis Aaron, right? Go take Aaron, and he's going to take him and inaugurate him to be a Kohen and to run the Mishkan. And Rashi over there again says the same thing, Kocheu B'dvarim. The question is, it says Kachis Aaron, where does it say Kocheu B'dvarim? Where does Rashi get it from? That Kach means to take something. Where does it say Kocheu B'dvarim? Says Rav Huttner, the same Yesod over here, that a person consists of more than just a body. And he said, if you want to take someone, if you take someone by force, you're taking their body, but you're not taking the neshama. Right? And if you want to take someone, if it says, Kachis Ha'odom, Kachis Aaron, what's Aaron? Aaron's not just the 6 foot of flesh and blood that you see in front of you. There's much more to Aaron and Cohen than that. And the only way to take a person is to talk to them. And the Maaser, the Klei Kara says that in last week's parasha, there was the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak to the rock. And there's two ways of communicating. There's one way of communicating, which is with a stick. And it's a very ineffective way of communicating. Because as soon as you move the stick, you haven't got the person's heart. You've just got their body because they're scared of the stick. As soon as the stick goes away, so the person goes away. Because you're doing chinuch if you're people. So the second that the person is old enough not to be dependent and is more powerful, that the forcing doesn't work, so then that's it. Why? Because when you force someone, you're forcing the body, you're not forcing the neshama. Mainly the body went along, the neshama wasn't there. What you achieved, b'shas ma'isa, was very limited. And as soon as the machriach goes away, so then, as soon as the forcing agent goes away, so then that's the end of the chinuch. Okay. Beginning of the parasha, Balak sends to Bilam to please come and help him out against the Jews. And it says, the pasuk says, "Vayel zikne Moav v'zikne Midyon uksamim b'yadam." Zikne Moav and zikne Midyon go uksamim b'yadam, and they took. By the simple chat is they took all their magical accessories that they need in their hands. And they went to Bilam and they told him whatever Balak said. Says Rashi over here, what does it mean, uksamim b'yadam? Kol min eksamim, shlo yomer en kli tashmishi imi. But they took with all the different things that you would need, for that, probably a wand and whatever else, so that Bilam shouldn't put them off by saying, listen, I don't have what I need to do my magic. Dovar acher, nadav shat, kesem ze notlu b'yadam zikne midyon. Right? Kesem, lachor, is going to translate as a method of divining something, method of working something out, right? But they took this, kesem ze notlu b'yadam, this is what they took in their hand. Amru, they had the simon. If Bilam comes with us now, Yeshbo Mamish. So he's good. Vim Yedichenu, if he puts us off, Ein Bo Tzeles. So then, not so good. Lefika Kashe Omelehem, Linu Koyalaila. Therefore, when he said to them, sleep here for the night, Omru Ein Bo Tikva. So they said, no hope. Hinichu Vaholkolehem Shanema, Vayeshu Sare Moyav in Bilam. Right, that the psukim from now on only talk about Sare Moya, but they don't talk about Sare Midyan anymore. Ava Zikne Midyan, Holkulahem. Zikne Midyan already went away. So they took the simon. The simon is, if he comes with us straight away, so. If he doesn't come with us straight away, no good. So when he didn't come with them straight away, they said no good. And therefore, from now on, Zikne Midyan are not mentioned. The only ones who mentioned Zikne Moya, because Zikne Midyan, as soon as they got this answer from Bilam, they went back home. Says the Vilna Gaon, Nachor, we have an interesting point in Rashi over here. Rashi changes the Lashon. He says, Im yovo imonu b'pama zois yesh bo mamash. If it comes with us straight away, yesh bo mamash. Im yedichenu, if he puts us off, ein bo to'eles. So we've gone from mamash to to'eles. When he put them off, and he said, stay here through the night, omro ein bo tikva. So we've gone from mamash to to'eles to tikva. What's the, why the change? Says the Gro over here that we know all the Mepharshim say, why did they go and hire Bilam? They said, we've got a problem. We've got Moshe Rabbeinu coming. Moshe Rabbeinu ain't kofei ala bepeh. Right, here's a Navi. And we need someone who's going to beat Moshe Rabbeinu at his own game. So how do we beat Moshe Rabbeinu at his own game? We need a Navi who's a better Navi than Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so how do you rate Nevi'im? Okay, last night I was in Ramah Gimel. I said that, and as I said it, I realized over there they know how to rate Nevi'im. Right? For every Navi is a different price, depending on how popular he is over there. But Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, didn't feature. He didn't make it into Ramah Gimel, Bechlal. What? Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry? Okay. So either way, Ziknei Midian were around before Ramah Gimel. They didn't know how to rate the Nevi'im. So how are they going to rate the Nevi'im? So they said like this, what's the darga of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu's darga we have by Pesach Sheni, we have by Benos Slavkai. People came to him and asked him something. So he didn't know, or either he didn't know, or whatever. But he says to them, "Imdu veshma ma'itzav Hashem." Someone comes and asks you a question, and you say, "Hold on a second, I'll ask Hashem." He turns around and he talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't take him 10 days. Doesn't have to fast for a week first. He doesn't have to do anything. 1 second, I'll talk to Hashem and I'll ask you. Mimele, he said they had this question. He said this was the medida. This is how they were going to decide if Bilam is worth hiring. If he comes with us immediately, he says, what's that if he comes with us immediately? It means we arrive by the door, we knock on the door, and he's already dressed to go. We say, can you come with us? And he says, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me half an hour ago, and he told me that you guys are coming, and he told me that I can go, and he told me to get ready, so I'm already ready. So I say, wow, this guy's better than Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He's half an hour ahead of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yesh Bo Elis, that's a guy you want to hire. Lefika Kishomele, sorry, Yesh Bo Mamash. Im Yedicheno, if he puts us off, Ein Bo Elis. Vilna Gaon says, Elis is called a definite, but if he puts us off, he says, hold on a second, let me ask Hashem. So what does that show you? You're hiring someone who's just as good as Moshe. Right? But the rule in war is you don't fight with equal forces if you want to win. So in Boitzelis, we don't know if this guy is good, right? Moshe Rabbeinu does that. Bilam does that. Who says he's going to win over here? What happened? They came in, they asked him, what did he say? Listen, I have to sleep on it. I can only talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at night. Mithika, kishamalem, linupaya laila, amru, en boitikva. Over here, there's no hope. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, he talks to Hashem straight away. He has to wait for the night. No hope. And they went home. Okay, so Bilam traveled. Here's the whole story with the man of stopping him. He comes to Balak, and he tells Balak to build him seven altars, seven mizbechos. V'achini b'zeh shiva parim v'sheva elim. Right? He wants to bring seven korbanos on seven different altars. Okay, why seven? So says Rashi over here, everyone knows the Rashi, Keneged the Ovis, right? That Bilam was really coming, he was coming to wipe out Klal Yisrael from the source. So we find that everything that he did, he was trying to do Keneged Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, because that was the place that he was attacking Klal Yisrael. He wasn't trying to wipe out 10% of Klal Yisrael, 20%, he was trying to really uproot, right, from the source. So Rashi says, seven, Keneged the seven Ovis, to the seven Mizbechos, which were built by the Avos. Rashi? The Rashi's hiding. Yeah. Okay, here's Rashi. Perekov Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, is the Rashi. Says the Balaturim over here. Pasuk Aleph. Balaturim says something very interesting. Shiva Parim Shiva Elim. Says the Balaturim, V'chein Asa Eoiv. Right? Eoiv also brought seven. Why? Ki kein minag b'nei noyach, lahakriv zayin, kenega zayin mitzvah shelahim. Says the minag of b'nei noyach was always to bring seven korbanos, seven korbanos, but we have 14 korbanos and seven mizbechos, but that's the seven sets. Why? Keneged zayin mitzvos b'nei noach. That kind of balatari. Right? And ask people, what's written over here? Okay? I think the marshal would be like this. If a person, let's say, let's say it's your brother's birthday, right? Brother's birthday, your father's birthday, whatever the case is, right? So you go out and you buy him a present, right? Comes his birthday, he walks out in the morning and there's a present standing outside his front door, right? How's he going to feel? He's going to feel great. Why? His brother remembered and he brought him a present. He'd feel great from that. Let's say you have a neighbor, right? You've never ever said a word to, right? You've been living in the same building for 3 years. You've never said a word to him. He's never said a word to you. No reason, not just. You've never had a kesher with him. Now you want to build a merpeset. And your merpeset's going to go out and it's going to maybe obstruct his view a little bit, right? And he has the right to object, right? And suddenly there's a problem, right? You're not friends with this guy. What are you going to do? He walks out of his house and fits on. There's this big bouquet of flowers waiting for him, right? Along with the question, can I please put out a merpeset? Right? So what time does that present have? Right? A present is there to be mechazik, a relationship that exists. If there's a relationship, so a present brings up, it brings up nicely, it carries on, it's mechazik, a relationship that's going. If there's no relationship, a present to something, I know, there's no time. For a goy, the scope of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 7 mitzvahs. Remember, when you want to come and have a bring a korban, which is a kirva to Hashem, a goy can't bring tariyag korbanos. He can't stam bring a korban. He can bring korbanos, can neged the zayin mitzvah. I'm not saying he can't stam bring a korban, right? But if he wants to bring a korban, in some way there's the scope of the korbanos that he can bring is limited to 7. Right? Being as that's the scope of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimele, you want to bring a present, so that's as much of a present as you can bring. Right? By a Jew also, so the korban is something there that's to strengthen a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a nekuda of Hargosha over here. I'm saying there is a bit of a feeling today, it's even written out like this in certain comics, right? But there's a feeling today, Kila HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a machine that you put in zchuyot and you take out yeshuot. Right? You put in whatever it is that they want to get you to put in, usually money, right, for whatever cause. And out the other side of this machine comes out zchuyot. Or you go to a grave and you say the whole perek Tehillim, or forwards and backwards, or 40 nishmas, or whatever it is. But there's a machine over here that you do this trick, and what comes out the other side is like that. And people forget that there's a relationship over here. You're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I had a Rebbe I remember his wife was going to, I don't remember where, from years and years ago. It could have been to Amukha, or some Indian, to go there and say the whole Perek Tehillim, or something like that. Maybe it wasn't Amukha, it was somewhere else. They were looking for a shidduch for someone. And he told her she can go, she can say the whole Perek Tehillim, she has to leave out one kapitel. Right? So just remember that you're davening to someone. Right? It's not this machine that you go there and you do the whole Perek Tehillim, and if you miss out one, so it's kilo, you didn't do anything, because I mean, that's how the game works, that you say the whole Tehillim so you get a shidduch. Right? He said you've got to remember that you're davening to someone. He said you can say the whole Tehillim, just leave out one. Remember that you're davening. Remember you're talking to someone. Right? Hagam that there's always a cheshon, some way that things work out fairly, and midah keneged midah and keneged our mitzvah. So there is always a cheshbon. Things have to work out with Schar Va'onesh to be fair. But the ikkar of what's going on always, not the ikkar, the whole of what's really going on always, is that Yiddishkeit is a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mela, to try and throw presents, Kila HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a place where there's no relationship, so that's not the way that it works. A person can't be a Rasha and, put in Sefer Tehillim and expect to pull out to Yeshua. That's not the way that it works. The Yeshuas that a person gets, there is a place for bringing a present, bringing a korban, as it were, but the korban has to be lefi the basic relationship that's kayam, and not a replacement for the relationship. So Lamaisa, we're standing before the 3 weeks. We're not finished with the parasha yet. But one inyan which comes up through the parasha, I think if anyone wants to, during Lane, count how many times the inyan of Re'ir, seeing, and Az comes up through the parasha. I think you'll be surprised. Right? Maybe 100 references to seeing, and looking, and through the parasha, it's almost endless. There's a big inyan of Koyach Re'ir. And at this time, normally when I was by Rav Moshe used to always talk now about the Koyach Re'ir. He brought from the Sefer Yetzirah that the 12 months of the year are keneged 12 koichas that a person have, and Tammuz is keneged the Koyach Re'ir. Okay, and he always would start off one or two of the drashas that I heard, lefachot. He'd ask a stira. On the one hand, we have a pasuk which says, "Hen tisai necha shemaima." And we know the klal is pen, right? Pen va'al is loisasei. Pen tisai necha shemaima. Don't look towards the heavens. Why? Because reisa sashemesh ve'sayirach ve'sakochavim. You look up, you see this huge ma'arechet that surrounds the world, that controls the world. And that brings a person, chas v'shalom, to v'nidachto v'shtachavisolem. It makes a person go off the derech and bow down to the sun and the moons. Therefore, don't look at the sky. Pen tisai necha shamayim. On the other hand, we had in the Haftarah a week or two ago, su'u moreim aneichem, uru mi bara'ele. Right? Pick up your eyes to the heavens and see who created the heavens. So ask Rav Moshe, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to look, you're not allowed to look at the heavens, or you're supposed to look at the heavens? What's the answer? Right, the end of the pasuk is the answer. Su'u moreim aneichem uru'u mi bara'ele. He said to look with an eye that sees only on the surface. Right? That sees, and whatever it sees, it takes its very limited view. And that's the entirety of the picture. That's the issur. Right? Pen tisai necha shamayim. You see the stars and the sun and the moon. And that's all that you see. If that's all that you see, you're not allowed to look. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to look up, su'u moreim aneichem, ru'u mi bara'ele. See the picture, but see more than the picture. And it's an inyan of Ein Tova. There's two inyanim in Ein Tova. The one is when you see things, to see the good in them and not the bad in them, but also to look in a way, probably they'd say today, Barosh Gadol, right? Not just to see what you see, but to see more than what you see. Again, it's an inyan of Ein Tova to see and to understand what goes on behind it. There's a story that I heard from one of my children told me this story. I don't know if it's true or not, I don't know if it happened or not. But he told me that in one of the Shemitahs, there was a big plague of locusts. And there was a big miracle that happened, that all of the locusts went right next to where they kept Shemitah. And you could see fields that were covered in locusts, and you could see the fields where they kept Shemitah, and there was nothing going on over there. That part I knew, right? The Chiddush is the rest of the story. Right? So, evidently, one of the guys who didn't keep Shemitah, right? One of the not-yet-from people who didn't keep Shemitah stood up with his son, looked over there, and they see their field covered in locusts, and, you know, 1 meter on the other side of the gate, and there's no locusts. Right? What's he going to do with this view? What's he going to tell his son? Right, he looks and he says, "You see," he says, "even the locusts hate the Haredim." Right? He says, "Even the locusts hate the Haredim." Right? So that's Mustama, not Ayin Tov. Right? There's a way of looking and seeing things, and you can see things so limited. And there's a way of looking, right? Looking at the Shemaim, Uru'u mi bara'ele. You don't just see it, but you see what goes on behind it. Story of Rav Chaim Oizer, the famous story that there was once a Rav in town who was a young Rav, and the Avreichim in town were challenging him too much. They weren't acting. But Rav is a 40-year-old Rav, 40-year-old Avreichim, and Mehechetesi, that's what people felt. So they were out to get him, and they kept on looking for him to make a mistake. And you know, every rabbi's only human. He made a mistake on Halacha. So they thought they want to get him. They're not going to get him. How are they going to get him? They wrote a telegram to Rav Chaim Oizer, Right, in those days, to get an answer, right, to write a letter wasn't such a simple thing. They wrote a telegram to Reb Chaim Oizer, who was the Gadol HaDor, and asked him the Shaila. And they wanted to get an answer from Reb Chaim Oizer. You know, what are you bothering me with such simple Shailas? This is the Halacha. And bring it to the Rabbi. You know, Reb Chaim says this is something, you know, we shouldn't even bother him with, and the Halacha is not like you. Reb Chaim gets a question from, you know, the city nearby. Something simple, right? And Reb Chaim Oizer was an amazing, amazing genius. He sees it, and right, Reb Chaim's Reb Chaim, so obviously he worked this the whole, just from seeing it, he worked it all out. What did he do? So he thought like this, to write an incorrect answer, he can't. He can't not answer. He can't write an incorrect answer, then the whole town will do something not lahalacha. What did he do? He wrote a telegram, he sent a letter with the incorrect answer. Right? So he wrote the halacha, he realized what went on. So he figured out what over there must have passed him. So he wrote what the Rav said, the incorrect answer, in a letter and sent it. A day later, right, post in those days was 3 weeks, right, the only place in the world that still have that minhag is South Africa, right, anywhere else it's pretty quick today. But a post in those times was 3 weeks, they had nothing to worry about for a few weeks. A day or two later he went and he wrote a telegram. The telegram was, please don't be mityaches to my letter. I made a mistake in the halacha, the correct halacha is like this. Right? So what did they get? They got a letter from Reb Chaim Oizer. Reb Chaim Oizer also thought like that. It was a good half a minute. And halacha l'maisa, you do different, right? But that's an example of seeing something and seeing a little bit more than what goes on, right? He gets a question from the nearby town, why are they asking such a simple question? Work it all out and send back like that. That's an inyan of Ayin Tova. Don't just see, but see more than what goes on. The pasuk says, Bilam starts his bracha, and he says, "Lo yibit oven beYaakov, v'lo yira'ah amal beYisrael." HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see the averus that Klal Yisrael do. And over here, all of the mafarshim ask that. Nachar, this is a clear. We all know it's brought down. So Gemara, it's brought down in Masilas Yesharim. Says Koloimar Kodesh Baruch Hu Vatran Hu Yivatramoi. Anyone who says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Mevater, right? Well, we've Mevater, maybe Hashem's Mevater, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Mevater, right? Don't worry, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu will forgive me for whatever I do. Koloimar Kodesh Baruch Hu Vatran Hu Yivatramoi, right? There's a curse that whatever. So how over here can the pasuk say Lo yehi bit oven beYaakov? A Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't see the averus we do. We know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's sky for Enish, and a person gets paid for whatever he does. So what's the pshat over here? So I think the most basic pshat that there is over here, again, I didn't see it written, but I think it's a Dover Parshat, is that there's a difference. Hagam that we have, a system that's called Skarva Oynish, and Hagam that Kodesh Baruch Hu isn't Mevater, but the Etzem HaYachas always is one of our. I'll say it out for Derech HaMoshal. I don't have good words to say the Mosai, but let's say a Moshal, right? A father has a son at home, and he's done his course on Chinuch, and he's learned that we don't punish, but we give what's called consequences, right? You learn to carry responsibility for your actions. So he tells his son, please don't leave your bicycle outside. He comes home, the kid's bicycle is outside, so he brings it inside. He tells the child, please don't leave your bicycle outside. The next day he comes back, and the bicycle is still outside. So he listens to whoever he went to for chinuch classes, and he leaves the bike there. Through the night, the Arab comes, takes the bike, and that's the end of the bike. The next day the kid comes down, no bike, he's crying, where's my bicycle? Right? Father says, you're going to learn responsibility for your actions. You leave your bicycle outside. It's not my job to bring it in. And now you don't have a bicycle. Right? That's called Scharva Oynish. Right? Father's not punishing. He's trying to teach his son responsibility. There's no hatred in or anything like that. But let's have the story of the father tells the kid, don't run in the road. Right? Don't run in the road. Right? 10 minutes later, the kid runs in the road, the screeching of brakes, never if the kid gets hit. The father goes out, sees the kid lying there in a pool of blood. He says to him, you're going to have responsibility for your actions. You want me to call the ambulance now? Forget it. Right? So obviously no father does that. Now why not? The answer is because the basic relationship is not one of tzar v'onesh. The yesod of the relationship is pure love without anything else, unconditional love. And that's the yesod of the relationship. It has to be. And where there's a place for tzar v'onesh, right, I'm saying the father then is going to pay for the next bicycle. Right? And not only that, but the bike was worth 100 shekels. He spent 350 shekels consulting with, whichever big chinuk expert you went to talk over the whole case about, right? So he's spending much more than that. The place for schar v'onesh is only to develop the son, right? The basic yachas is always one of pure ava. And if there's reward and punishment, so it has its place, but its place is always, and the truth is, it's not a good story because I can't really say out the details at all. But a number of years ago, I once went to one of the Gedolei Ador. I was very surprised by it was a very interesting meeting. I just met him. I went there, done Minka, told him I'd like to speak to him. He said, fine, come to my house. And I sat with him for about half an hour to an hour. And I spoke through an issue that had been bothering me. And he was very, very, very sharp on this point. He said, when things happen to a person, he said, there's no musok of a Kodesh Baruch Hu being out to get you. Right? A person who reads the Svarim and doesn't understand this, so you read about Schar V'Oinish, think if you're good, then Hashem's your friend, and if you're bad, Hashem's your enemy, and is out to get you. And it's always very important to remember that there's a place for Schar V'Oinish, but it's like the dogma with the father and the son, right? When they're climbing in the road, there's no question the father's always there for the son. The basic anhaga, right? There's no Schar V'Oinish on certain things. The basic relationship is just pure, unconditional love. In order to make someone grow, there's a place for consequences of actions. Right? But it's very limited. And that's why when Balak comes over again, what was he trying to do? Like we said before, Balak's coming, and he's coming to try wipe out Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael didn't even know this was happening. This is busy happening, right? In some stay Moyov, right? Rosh HaTzofim, all the different places he went to. Right, but somewhere there, but Klal Yisrael doesn't even know this is happening, and HaKadosh Baruch is busy being Meshaneh Kol Sidrei Bereishis to protect Klal Yisrael, not because of Zchuyot, not because of anything. And this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing that relationship of unconditional love, no musig of Schar V'Oinesh. The male of Balak starts out, and what does he see happening over here? Lo Yibit Avin B'Yakov, Lo Yira'am Al B'Yisrael. There's a certain level of relationship with his Bichlal, no Shaykhus of Schar V'Oinesh. And whatever happens, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will always be there for the Jews. I think that's the most basic chat. Again, like I said, I haven't seen it written, but Stoma someone will say it. A slightly different nusach. So the basic idea I saw from the Nesuva Shalom, I'm going to say it out in my own words. Whatever's good came from him. But I'll just say it out in my words. Says in the Sefer Shalom, okay, that the Lashon of the Ramchal for this, the Ramchal says that there's different anhagas that Hashem has. The one anhaga is anhaga called Schar V'Oinesh. Schar V'Oinesh means if a person does something good, so he gets good. If a person does something bad, he gets bad. Okay? And there's another anhaga which the Ramchal calls anhagas Hayichud. Okay, where basically what's written over there is that everything will work out good in the end. And from everything that happens and has ever happened, something good will come out. Now that's anhaga which we have no right to live by that anhaga today at all. It's not anhaga for Elam Hazeh right now, it's anhaga for Elam Haba. And Adarab has brought this as one of the dangers of learning Kabbalah, those kind of things, because people see these things and they don't know how to apply them. Right? A person can't miss Shachris and say, don't worry, from this will also something good will come out. Right? And that's Adarab, this is the danger, this is one of the reasons not to, a person's Baal Tshuva for 20 minutes already, you don't start teaching in Kabbalah because you have to know the place for these things. There is such a musig, but it's not halakha l'maisa for us today at all. Personally, we cannot be mityakes to this anhaga today at all. There's one anhaga that's busy running the world. One way that Hashem is busy running the world, that if there's good things and bad things, and good things get good and bad things get bad. And there's another thing, that there's another way that Hashem is busy running the world, in which everything really is good. And even for what looks to us to be bad, and our bad actions, from everything good will come out. There's a Gemara in Brachos where it says that on good news we say Baruch Atah Ameitich, and on bad news we say Dayana Emes. Right? And it said that there's a difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. In Olam Hazeh, that's the way that it works. In Olam Haba, on the bad news we'll also say Atah Ameitich. Right? I don't know what bad news we're going to have in Olam Haba. I hope there won't be, person gets to Olam Haba and he realizes that there's bad news waiting. Hope not. But it says there that on bad news, so we're going to say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, right? And it's the same Nakuda, that the Anhaga in Olam Hazeh is that good news is good news and bad news is bad news. Hagam that we know that everything that Hashem does is for the best, Gamzu L'Tova, but we today, the way that we're built today, we can't be, it's not, we can't live on that level 100%. And even the biggest Alemuna today can't hear bad news and make a bracha of HaTov HaMeitiv, right? If someone hears that he had an investment and the investment went away, so he has perfect emunah that Hashem wants him to serve him from being an ani and not from being an ashi, and he'll do better like that. We know that's the truth. But if a person makes a bracha of Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, so it's a bracha levatol. Right? I remember when I was in yeshiva, there was the mashkiach once came back from a base oval where a guy, there was a young guy whose wife passed away. And it was a big tragedy. I think he was 25 or whatever. Young guy, his wife passed away. And the Mashkiach came back from the Beis Oval and he was very bothered. He said, the guy just sat there saying, no, Gamzu L'Tova, and I know it's for the best, and I know it's for the best. And he kept repeating that. And I don't remember exactly the shmuz that the Mashkiach gave. I just remember that he was very bothered. That a person has to look by Olam Hazeh. A gam that we know that it's for the best, but it's not an Hoga, which is Lamaisa for us today. And right now, Bo'ilam Hazeh, as the Gemara says in Brachos, there's a Anhaga for us today is that on bad news we say Baruch Adayna Emes, not a Tov HaMeitiv. Says in the Seva Shalom over here, Pachot Yoter, that Hagam, that we have no, we can't live by that way of accepting what Hashem does, which looks to us bad as being good. Said, but there's a certain feeling that a person can have when bad things happen, or if something bad happens, a person gets into a temper, right? Rav Brevda speaks it out, you know, very nicely. A lady issue is talking about how they could get dressed up and they do this and do this, and you know, everything's ready. It takes them half an hour, right? An hour and a half to get dressed to go to the wedding, and you take the baby and you walk to the front door, and suddenly the baby throws up all over everything. So the human nature is you get upset by such a thing, you get angry, right? To quote Rav Brevda, who are you getting angry at? You're getting angry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one running the world. If the person gets angry, he's getting angry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where's your emunah? Right? So, says in the Seva Shalom, as much as a person, right, but the truth is that a person cannot make a Tov HaMeitiv on that. That could be, you can say Baruch Dayan Emes on that, I'm not sure, right? But a person's not allowed to say a Tov HaMeitiv, even if you know it's all for the best and probably the cab that you're going to take is going to turn over and, you know, b'chulu. Right, but you can't say Atev HaMeitiv because we don't live like that. It says in the Seva Shalom, I'll call upon him, as much as a person can accept it from Hashem, and instead of becoming angry and it bothers him and he can't go and daven properly afterwards because he's angry, right, but rather he accepts everything from Hashem and he can still go and serve Hashem with whatever midah that Hashem has murdered to him, so he still carries on loving Hashem in the same way. So he says, as much as a person manages to live like that, the etzim, what he's doing is he's living on the level of Olam Haba, of accepting the bad as if it was good. It says in the Seva Shalom, as much as a person does that for Hashem, so Hashem will do that for the person. And when things go wrong, instead of a person getting upset and it bothering him and taking him away from Avodas Hashem, he accepts it and he carries on with Avodas Hashem. So he said the other side of the coin is that when he goes and does an Avera, so Hashem can look at it as something bad. Hashem can look at it knowing that really something good will come out of it. Hashem knows what the Anhagas HaYichud is, that something good will come out of everything bad. And Mimele Hashem can look at it like that. As much as we accept from Hashem, however, whatever happens, so too Hashem will accept from us, however, whatever happens. And Mimela, someone who does that, so he's zoke to this level of Lo Yehi B'Tovin B'Yakov Lo Yira Omo B'Yisrael. There's a Ksava Kabbalah over here. It gives a very nice Yekesh Pshat to answer the question, right? Lo Yehi B'Tovin B'Yakov. How can it be Hashem doesn't look at our Averas? Says the Ksava Kabbalah. Why? Says Bilam was saying Jews don't do Averas. Right? He's coming and praising the Jews. He's not talking about Darkei Shamayim. He says that, you know, these guys are so good. You ask me to curse these guys. These guys are so good. He says if Hashem had to look for the Averas, he wouldn't find any Averas. Right? He's praising the Jews, nothing else. Maybe there's no question if we do Averas, doesn't Hashem find it? From where Bilam was looking, Jews don't do Averas. Right? And the way he says it out, there's a difference between Re'iyah and Abata. Lo Yehibit Ovin B'Yakoy, for the Ra'am of Israel. It says Re'iyah is when you look and you see something. Habata is to look with kavana. Habata is to look carefully. You pick something up and you examine it. So he says, Mimela Lo Yehibit Ovin B'Yakoy, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he had to pick up the Jews and examine them, he wouldn't find Averis. That's a pshat of a Ksava Kabbalah, it also takes away the question of Kodesh. We might be on 11 o'clock for the break, or, you know, let's just finish this one and then get on to the rest. There's a Parashas Drachim over here, which is, and it's beautiful Parashas Drachim, just to say it out. There's a question. Oh, well, okay, let's just add a pshat. The Parashat Drachim says that the pshat over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't judge us for our future averas. How can you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Yehibit Ovin V'Yakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see our averas? Right? So you said we're talking about future averas. Right? Where's the big source that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish for future averas? Very good, Yishmael. Right? So we all know that it says by Yishmael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do a nascent Seraphim. The Melachim came and said his descendants are going to kill the Jews with thirst. So how can you save him from that? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eini donis adam ela basher rushon. Right, I only judge a person exactly as he is there. So Mimela, the fact that Averas are coming doesn't hurt. Okay, over here we so over there we have a source for only being judged but on the present, nothing more. Right? There's the source the other way around from Sarumur, right? Of the source. Right? The source the other way around you do is from Ben Sarumur. They ask Astira, the answers are very easy over there. The Mais, another place where it comes up is by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because it's Mefurish in the Psukim that Yetzias Mitzrayim was, when Bnei Yisrael came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, they didn't have a skus for Yetzias Mitzrayim. The skus that they came out of Mitzrayim was Kabbalah Satorah. Says the Kadosh Baruch to Moshe Rabbeinu, but says Kem Asaom in Mitzrayim, Tavdu Nesodakim Al HaRazeh. When you come out of Mitzrayim, you're going to serve Hashem, and that's what you're going to say, right? Moshe Rabbeinu asked, which skus? Hashem said, you've got the skus of Kabbalah Satorah. The question's glaring. One second, they haven't had Kabbalah Satorah yet. And I heard Rav Yitzchak Yochum Brodzianski used to say that the pshat in the sphira, the reason why the sphira so'imer yomei hadin, he says, because on Pesach we get Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? On Shavuos we pay for it with Kabbalah Satorah, but in the interim we're in Chovos, right? Kilo, we receive from Hashem, and we haven't paid for it. And when you receive on credit, so it's nice to get what you want, but right? What's it, enjoy today and pay later, right? But someone is enjoying today and paying later, the pshat is in Chovos. While the person's in Chovos, that makes me to Sadin. So no matter what we do about it, what do? We start counting Sfiras Omer, saying, straight away we say to Hashem, you've given us Pesach, one second, we're going to Shavuos. This amount of days to Shavuos, this amount of days to Shavuos. Right, but we're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even if we're late, we're on the way to paying up, and, you know, not if we're late, right? Even we're on the way to paying back, and Mimela, that should be Mimait, the Midas Adin, the fact that we're going towards paying for the Kabbalah Sotorah. Al Koponim, Yetzias Mitzrayim was given on credit. right? And the Parashat Rochim brings down that this was one of the things that Paro was struggling with, right? Paro was approached by Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, and he was asked, please let the Jews go. Let the Jews go. Why should we let them go? Why? Because they're going to go get the Torah, right? That's a nice force to allow them to let to go. Paro is bothered. 1 second. How are we judging? We're judging by now, or we're judging with future values? If we're judging by now, so the Jews don't have a source for Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we're taking future values also, so you've got Kabbalah Satorah coming, very nice, but there's also the Egel coming, right? And the truth is, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro, so the Nusuk of the Pasuk is interesting. Paro says to him, Lomo Moshe Va'aron Tafriyas Alme Ma'asav. It's a bit of a funny pasuk. It should either say Moshe Va'aron Lama Tafriyas Alme Ma'asav, or Lama Tafriyas Alme Ma'asav Moshe Va'aron. Right? But Moshe Va'aron, their name is stuck in the middle of a question. Lama Moshe Va'aron Tafriyas Alme Ma'asav. Says the Medrash over there, Atem Lama V'divreichem Lama. There's two questions. There's one question on what you're saying, Lama Tafriyas Alme Ma'asav. But there's also, by the fact that Moshe and Aaron are put in the middle of the question, you see that they're asking questions being asked about them. He says, why are you guys here? Says the Parashat Rochim that Paro was saying to them, why are you here? Why aren't you working? Right? How come you guys are free to roam around? Why are you working? What's the honor? Shevet Levi. Why wasn't Shevet Levi working? Why? Because they were going to carry the Aron. Right? They were going to be Moshose Hashem in the Midbar. Since you're going to be carrying the Aron, so it's not covered that you're carrying the stuff for Paro, Poseidon, you're off. But why are you guys going to carry the Aron in the... Right? Why are you guys going to carry the Mishkan? Why? Because there's going to be Chet HaEgel and the Avodah is going to be taken away from the Bechorim. Right? So the whole reason that Levi was given a free in Mitzrayim is because the Levi is going to be Mashoseh Hashem, the Koladoris. Why are they going to be Mashoseh Hashem? Because of Bechorim not. Why Bechorim not? Because of the Egel. It says Paro, by the fact that you guys are standing here, I've got to write that there's going to be a Chet HaEgel. So Mimonavshach, you want to go by present, by your present assets, you've got no reason for your Mitzvah Mitzrayim. You want to tell me about Kabbalah Satorah, you're Theor, but we're going by future value, there's also the Egel. What's the answer? The answer says the Parashat Rochim, the Kodesh Baruch has a special and hunger with Klal Yisrael, we take future mitzvahs and we don't take future avayis. And he says, that's pshat over here, lo yihi bit ovin v'yakoy v'lo yira'om ol v'yisrael. When Hashem looks at a Jew, he looks at the koichas that he has in him to do good things, and he'll give him credit for that. And anything that's going to come bad, so in the Maaseh you can explain, I'll be the Maral, that when a Jew wants to do good, it comes from what he is, something atzni to a Jew. Now Hashem can something bad, it's just a mistake, or something chitzoni that came. So Mimele, that's not a part of him. But either way, says the Parashat Rochim, that Hashem looks at the good that we're going to do and already pays us for the good we're going to do, gives us chuyot for the good we're going to do. Masha'en came for the bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish us for the bad that's coming. And Mimela says the Parashat Rochim, Le'ibit Ovin B'Yakov Le'ra'om Al B'Yisrael, Hashem doesn't look at the bad we do. What's the Raya? Says the next Pasuk, Kel Mitzion Mitzrayim, Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim. And the only way we could have left Mitzrayim is if Hashem gave us the skuyot for the mitzvahs we were going to do without giving us the punishment for the egel, which was also coming. And that's a raya that Hashem gives us our future values or future skuyot, not the chovos that are coming. And Mimela, we'll see enough to mention for things that Bilam was trying to bring up, averus that they were going to do. So that's what he was saying. The answer is that future averus don't count for the Jews, future mitzvahs count for the Jews. And this is also an inyan of Ayin Tova, how Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us. Okay, let's take a break now, 5 minutes, and carry on in 5 minutes, Mr. Shemi.